Our librarian Nancy Pearl has returned again with books that show life boiled down to its essence. For her latest list of recommended reading, Nancy brought in books of short stories. Okay, let's start with the first book on this stack here. It's called Here's Your Hat, What's Your Hurry? Stories by Elizabeth McCracken. And I think there's a conflict of interest here because you put this on the list. And
right.
She's a librarian.
She is a librarian, but she is now, I'm sure she's still a librarian in her heart, but she is better known, much better known now as a fiction writer. One of my favorites of her stories is the story of a woman named Aunt Helen Beck, who has no home, but kind of adopts likely looking people and pretends that she's a relative on one of their sides. And then when she leaves them, when it's discovered that she's just masquerading as a relative, she takes a little knickknack to give as a house gift to the next people that she adopts. But my favorite story in this is the first one. Could I read the first paragraph to you of
Please,
the first
go
story?
Ahead.
It's Bad Luck to Die. Maybe you wonder how a Jewish girl from Des Moines got Jesus Christ tattooed on her three times, ascending on one thigh, crucified on the other, and conducting a miniature apocalypse beneath the right shoulder. It wasn't religion that put them there. It was Tiny, my husband. I have a boot around back, too. He was going to give me Moses parting the Red Sea, but I was running out of space. Besides, I told him, I was beginning to feel like a great Figures in Religion comic book.
From the book Here's Your Hat, What's Your Hurry? Stories by Elizabeth McCracken. Let's go to the next book in the stack here. This is called After the Plague and Other Stories by T.C. Boyle.
You know, I love T.C. Boyle's writing. He, of course, is best known, I think, again, for his novels like The Road to Wellville, which
became
was made into a film.
Yeah.
Right. But his short stories, the thing about short stories is that you don't have the kind of leisure the way you do with a novel to draw the reader in. You have to draw them in immediately or you're going to be lost with them. So in many cases, some of the best parts of the short stories are the opening lines and then the last lines, which are going to just wrap it up, not always neatly in this little bow that you sometimes think of. In this collection, After the Plague and Other Stories, he manages to inhabit many different characters. A teenage boy, one of the best stories in there is called The Love of My Life, about two teenagers when the girl becomes pregnant and what they're going to do about that. Just chilling. T.C. Boyle's last lines are the kind that just kind of reach in and grab you and twist your heart a little bit. And the title story, After the Plague, I think begins just wonderfully. Do you want to hear that?
Yeah, please.
After the plague, it was some sort of Ebola mutation passed from hand to hand and nose to nose like the common cold. Life was different. More relaxed and expansive, more natural. The rat race was over, the freeways were clear all the way to Sacramento, and the poor, dwindling, ravaged planet was suddenly big and mysterious again. It was a kind of miracle, really, what the environmentalists had been hoping for all along, though, of course, even the most strident of them wouldn't have wished for his own personal extinction. But there it was.
There you have it. After the Plague by T.C. Boyle. Are there books in this stack that are like hit albums where there's four good songs and then eight or nine kind of disposable stories?
I think inevitably in every collection there are going to be stronger and weaker short stories. I think in the collection by Laurie Moore, Birds of America, it's one of those collections where one would be hard-pressed to find a bad story. And I think the thing that I'm most eagerly waiting for in the world of books is for Laurie Moore's new collection. I can't wait, because Laurie Moore, again, is one of those people who every word is chosen so carefully to move the story forward just a little bit, so that as you're reading, you really get caught up in the lives of her characters. Laurie Moore's characters are the people I always wish that I could know. I'd like to sit next to them at some dinner party and just hear them talk, because they're so darn interesting.
Nancy Pearl, let's go overseas for your next selection here. Victor Plevin wrote a book called A Werewolf Problem in Central Russia and Other Stories.
Victor Plevin is a fabulist. He's a writer in the style of like Kafka or Borges in some ways. And so these are stories that begin with just an ordinary premise. In this one, a young man is driving from one town to the other, one place in central Russia to another, and he encounters a group of werewolves and discovers that he himself, well, I better not tell you. But let me say that those stories in that book are the kind of stories that you just delight in reading and rereading, because it's just so fascinating to see where this guy can take you.
In broadcast parlance, this is a tease we're getting here. It's like the literary equivalent of a movie trailer that you're giving us here.
Well, it's what you learn to do when you do book talks for teenagers.
Well, let's slip away from Russia and gaze at the stars, a book called All This Heavenly Glory by Elizabeth Crane.
This is the newest book in this pile, and I have to say, when I read this book, this collection of interlinked short stories about a young woman named Charlotte Ann Byers, I was just totally blown away by the humor, the grace, the ability of Elizabeth Crane to bring this character to life, and that a writer can do that, that all these writers can make their character so real to me, who shares very little of any of the demographics of any of these characters, I think is such a tribute to their writing. And there's a wonderful story almost at the end of All This Heavenly Glory in which the main character is talking about the life that she would have liked to live. And it's a story that I just reread it again last night for about the 12th time or so. And it still just makes me nostalgic. It's the kind of nostalgia you have where you're doing perfectly well wherever you are in your life, but you know that there's some other life out there. That sort of nostalgia for something that never was and never will be, I think comes through so beautifully in Elizabeth Crane's book. I just thought, the voice is so confiding and so honest that you just want to say, oh, Charlotte Ann, come and sit next to me.
Nancy Pearl, thanks for spending a few minutes with us.
Thank you, Steve.
Nancy is the author of More Book Lust, recommended reading for every mood, moment, and reason. And you can find all of Nancy's short story picks at npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne.